This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the J.R. Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Morena, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shabnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Chyna Gonzalez. I'd like to welcome our guest, Liliana Prado. Welcome.
Thank you, Shabnam, for having me here today.
When you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I used to love travel. I wanted to travel a lot. I wanted to see the world. I always, my dream was like, I want to see the world. I want to see what is around.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'd like to know where you are originally from and what brought you to Aotearoa.
I'm originally from Colombia. I was born in a very small city in Colombia. We moved when I was around 12 years old. We moved with my mom and my brothers. We moved to the capital, like everyone trying to find a better life.
Yes.
And I think that's what brought me to New Zealand too, like trying to find something different. I was working for a company for long time, but I decided that I wanted something different, do something different with my life, finding something different, and a challenge came, and yeah.
And you took up the challenge. Well, we'll talk about your employment journey in Aotearoa. So which year did you arrive in New Zealand?
I arrived in 2019. Yeah, and before coming, because I was working in the travel industry back in Colombia. Before coming, my agency told me it will be easy to find a job here in the travel industry.
Yes.
But since I came, I haven't found anything.
Wow. So when you came here, did you start working as a student?
Or? Yes, I came with a student visa. My first try was doing a short course, English course, for the IELTS. So I finished my course. I had my IELTS. The score was the required for the university. My idea was my master at the AUT university, but I didn't check all the requirements before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't check the prices for international students. Mm-hmm. But I went to the agency again. Well, this time a different one, and one that is from a Colombian lady.
Yeah.
And she told me about one of these small schools that are in the city, okay, around Auckland. She told me about these postgraduate options that are level 8, that it will give me a post-study visa, work visa.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was also working 20 hours.
Okay. And how was that work experience for you, your first work experience here, the 20 hours that you were doing? How was that for you?
Well, it was a big change from what I was doing in Colombia. In Colombia, my role was more admin. I was looking after the office and organizing everything from my computer. Then here, like any migrant, we have to start from scratch.
Yes.
So as I couldn't find a job in the travel industry, I was sending my applications, and every time I was rejected. I tried with the events sector because I was organizing events for the government in Colombia.
Yes.
So I got a job as an events assistant. My role was mainly working at the bar.
Yeah.
The basic tasks that I never did when I was in Colombia.
Is something very new for you?
It was new, but also I took this as something positive.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Say maybe I just need to get into this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to understand how others feel when they are working in this position.
Well, you know what? As migrants, when we come into a new country, I guess we are all thrown off balance. Like some of us just never find work that we are used to. And we are always, you know, we always try and throw ourselves into new roles and other roles just so that we could make ends meet Yeah, that's our migrant story everywhere. So you came here in your student visa. Were you still employed when you went to apply for your residency later?
Yes, but not for the same company. As you know, the COVID situation came in New Zealand. The lockdown happened, so we were without job for a while.
Yes.
We weren't able to open to work in events that I was working with. Like, I couldn't do anything for like almost 1 year.
Yes.
But as soon as we were able to open to the public, I got another job as in customer service for the same company. There, to get my residency, I knew that I had to go through the skills migrant process. That's why I was trying to find a full-time job in the events industry.
Yeah.
I got a job in 2022. I started in a full-time job finally after like 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most of the time I was still, even though that I was with my work visa, I was still in casual jobs, moving from one side to another. So it was quite difficult to get a full-time job.
That would have been very, very hard. So when you were applying for your residency, did you get any support from your employer?
No.
Wow.
I applied by myself. I didn't want to go through any agent. Actually, I went, before applying, I went to one of these agents in the city. And the person, when he was doing my CV, he said that I shouldn't apply for residency because my roles before COVID weren't like valid for residency or anything. And I say it doesn't make sense for me because when I was in Colombia working in events, it was almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And I came here and I was like working in events also. It should be like the same path.
Mm.
He said that I shouldn't apply, that I will be wasting my time.
Okay.
Still, I decided to give a go.
Yeah.
And I didn't hire any agent for this. Just before sending my first application, when I had all my documents and everything, when I saw that I had the 160 points that were required for applying for residency, for skills migrant residency,
yeah,
I decided to pay one of these companies. The person that got my case was super nice. It was just $50 that they paid for to review my documents first.
Yeah.
And she says, send the application, looks fine for me. I send the application. A couple of months later, I got the news that I was selected from the pool. I didn't expect that after hearing this from that person in the city that said, you shouldn't apply.
Yeah.
And okay, I sent my application and I got, I got selected. So, wow. So the time to collect all the documents came. I had a very good support from my previous manager in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
I had to show that I was working there for a certain time, that I was doing the role that I was saying. I think I had to show some of the salary, the pay slips from Colombia.
You had all the support from your manager from Colombia. Did you have any support from the managers in Aotearoa that you had worked
under? It was so, so, so difficult. I struggled to get the, you know, that we have to submit one form in addition to the contract.
Okay.
We have to submit one form that show that we are working for that company.
Yes.
And the tasks that we are doing and everything. The person that had to sign that form, I contacted her plenty of times. Can you please help me? I need this form. Help me. I cannot submit my application without this form.
Yeah.
And she said many times, I will try. I will do my best. I'm trying. Maybe it will take long. But you can submit your application without a form. I know that is, you can do it. It's not required. I say, I'm going to call immigration. I call immigration New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm sorry, but you need a form.
Yeah, wow.
And I spoke with the manager. She said that she felt sorry for me, but she couldn't do anything. And I remember I spoke even with one of the managers in Wellington.
Yeah.
Because we were working quite close. She said, I will try, but she called plenty of people and she couldn't do anything. Finally, after plenty of times trying, that person sent me my document like 2 days before submitting. It was a Friday, almost 6 p.m. I remember my due date was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I submit all my documents under a lot of stress, and something happened with the bank. I think it was because of the amount. I don't remember because it was like when you pay is a big amount that you have to pay. I think it was because of that. Like the payment didn't go through, so I had to call the bank and everything. So much stress that I paid again on Saturday. I call immigration and say, Lauren, did you receive everything?
Yeah.
And they say, yes, we can see that you already paid, that everything is correct.
So what did you do once you had the residency?
When I was at the job, I am into running for my mental health.
Yeah.
I tried to do a lot of running. I had an injury at that time, and I was with crutches when I was in the process for residency. Despite that I was in crutches, I used to go to the office and like do all the hard work that it had to be done to have the events happening. And I felt that I wasn't treated like others, like the Kiwis, when I had days without events.
Yes.
I wasn't able to work from home, for instance.
Yeah.
Why, if I have a day that I can stay at home to rest, why I cannot stay and work from home and do my admin task instead of going to the office because I have to go by bus or something or catch an Uber and like it will cause more stress. And
so while you were on crutches, you couldn't be on sick leave or anything?
Because I was in my residency process, I didn't want to lose my job.
Ah, that's right.
I didn't want to lose my job. If I lost my job, I will be like struggling for my residency.
Yes.
And I felt at that moment, I was the manager had resigned from
the role,
the company. So I was covering my position and the manager's position.
Wow.
And I remember the time that I couldn't move my leg, I called the manager, one of the manager's supervisors.
Yes.
I made a video call.
Yes.
I was laying in the floor. I say, I cannot move.
Wow.
I'm struggling to move. And that person didn't care.
Wow.
She was upset, just looking at me like, we have an event today. I said, can you please look after that event? I'm just cannot move.
Wow.
I knew that if I have a sick leave, I'll be like, I'll be fine.
You put yourself through it all just so that you don't get your residency application at stake, and you just went through it with absolutely no support from your employers.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something that everybody struggles here.
Yeah.
I hear about plenty of Latin people saying that the company say always, oh, we're going to give you the sponsor. And they go there, they say, like, oh, yes, they are going to give me the sponsor. But just a few days before, they say, sorry, we cannot give you the sponsor.
Wow.
So I feel like I was facing quite a similar situation.
Yes.
I got my residency and I decided to leave the company.
Mm.
I said, well, I've been here for so long. that I think I need to go and see my family.
Okay.
I need to go and recover properly from my injury.
Yes.
I don't feel that I belong to this company.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they have been treating me well. So I'd rather prefer just leaving.
Do you think these experiences are unique to you, or do you think that others are going through the same thing?
I have been able to speak with plenty of migrants, and I think everyone is facing the same situation at this moment. And like before, there are a lot of students that they come here with a specific degree, and they cannot find a similar job to what they are doing in, back in their countries.
Okay. So you went for a break to Colombia. How long did you go for?
To get my permanent residency, I have to show that I've been in New Zealand for 180 days.
Yes.
I counted the days that I was in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And because when I was in Colombia, I was also applying for different jobs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't get anything
okay.
at that moment. So I extend my holidays. I came back in May last year.
And how's it been trying to get employment when you came back?
I feel that it's like starting again.
Wow, starting again.
Yeah, I feel that it has been like a lot of applications. I send a lot of applications day by day. And it still is like, okay, no.
Yeah. So did you try any agencies to seek job and stuff?
I always search on these websites, Seek and LinkedIn, a lot of websites. But also somebody told me about Work and Income.
Okay.
I heard that they were kind of support for everyone with residency. I just wanted to get a job.
Yeah.
I went there. The person that saw me on that day, she thought I was just looking for get the income.
Okay.
And I say, I just need to get a job.
Yeah. And how was that experience for you?
I think it wasn't so good because I got called like once per week.
Okay.
But it was only checking, how are you doing? Have you found something? And okay, no.
Oh, wow. Okay, so where are you now? What is your current job? What are you up to right now?
Well, that's one of the challenges when you move to another country.
Yes.
It is like, it's difficult to get a job similar or the same job that you were doing back in your country. So I was trying to get something and trying by myself, applying by myself, trying to get something through Work and Income. I didn't see many offers that were suitable for me.
Okay.
I didn't want to go back into the waitress or that kind of role. I said, I think I already got my residency. I should be able to get a different job.
Yeah.
Because I think that everyone comes here with a, okay, I can work on this because now I am a student and it's a part-time job. I only can work 20 hours.
Yeah.
But I am a resident now.
Yes.
I am not a student. I am not in a work visa.
Yes.
I am a residency. Has been a long path
yeah.
to get a residency. And I say, I think I need to get a job where my salary is above the minimum wage or above the living wage.
Living wage, yes.
When I saw Work and Income, most of the jobs were like that just, kind of...
Just entry kind. Level.
Yeah. Oh, and okay. I say I don't want that. So I kept applying. I hear about these temporary agencies that
yes.
they have people. I applied to one of those that has role in some
yes.
administration. I got a role in a reception role.
Okay.
I have been there since September last year.
Okay.
My contract was supposed to end by December.
Mm-hmm.
And then they extended my contract until the 14th of February.
Are you happy with that? Are you happy doing that? Are you satisfied?
Okay. It's just a job that the salary is not the minimum wage. It's not the living wage.
Yeah.
Still, it's not the job that gives me like the comfort of salary and yeah. income,
yeah.
The comfort of like doing something more related to what I was doing in Colombia,
okay.
but it's a job.
yeah, it's a job, yeah. So where would you like to see yourself one day? What's going to satisfy you?
I think Japan, where there is no discrimination, where everyone is considered the same, because I think we as a migrants, we are hard workers. As I said before, I studied in a role that wasn't mine. I started working in this waitress and all of this, and I know that most of the Latin Americans, they come and they have to go through that kind of jobs
yes.
when we are students and we are hard workers.
So moving on from here and, you know, keeping in mind your experience so far here in New Zealand, what would you like to see different?
I would like to see more of us involved in more decision-making roles.
Yes.
I would like for the companies to be more inclusive, to hire people because of their skills, because of the experience that they have, instead of from where they come from, instead of people that are recommended by others. I mean, I hear that most of the time here you don't get a job also because you don't know anyone inside of the company and they prefer hiring somebody that they know.
Mm.
After coming back from Colombia, I had a couple of roles where they told me your profile was amazing. Actually, most of the time they say your profile is amazing, but no.
Oh, wow.
And they,
that's in the interviews. After the interview, that's what they say to you.
Yeah, at that moment they said your profile is amazing. Your interview was perfect. We like it, everything, but we are hiring someone else. And I, okay, oh. Thank you.
Yes, we've all gone through that river of rejection, haven't we, when we come as migrants to a new country? Okay, so Liliana, is there anything else? Is there any other projects or communities that you're involved with at the moment?
Something that helped me while I have been in New Zealand, as I mentioned before, I'm into running.
Yes.
I joined in 2022 to one running group.
Okay.
In Auckland. And I feel like so include on everything, even they name me. I am the social media manager for
oh,
them.
Wow.
It's a volunteer role.
Yes.
But I like to encourage others to go out and do some activity, do something. I think most of the migrants should be involved in this kind of things. Staying inside at their home is not going to solve anything. It's going to cause more stress.
And so is this running group on Facebook or Instagram or anything?
Yes, we have the running group on Facebook.
Oh, what's it called? Maybe if there's listeners out there who want to connect.
Yes, of course. We welcome everyone. The group is Metro Run. You can find us on Facebook and we have a website.
Oh, excellent. Sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the people who are listening to us today?
All the students, I know that it's a very difficult path. It's a long path. You can do it. Like, you can go through all the process. I think you need to be more resilient. It's difficult. I know that it's hard. I know that we are away from everyone, from all our families and everything. I know that it's a huge change. But anyone can do it. You just need to go and give it a try. I don't know. I think maybe I will get a nice job in the future. Maybe I can get a company or something. I don't know.
Yes. Why not, right? The world is our oyster and here we are working towards it. That's wonderful, Liliana. Well, that brings us to the end of this Pass the Mic episode. Thank you very much for joining us today, Liliana. That was just wonderful sharing this space with you here today. We wish you a wonderful day ahead. Thank you to all listening in. And with that, we are out. Namahi, ka kite anō. was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
World of Radio on planetaudio.org.nz.
Let me tell you a story. Way down south where the air is hot and hazy and the days are long and lazy. Deep in the woods, there's a pond. And when the sun shines, the critters have a good time. But when night falls, you better watch out. Oh, will the frogs talk to the bullfrog? Did you ever see a dragonfly? The bullfrog grinned and licked his chin. He said, yeah, it tasted just like chicken. Oh, will the muskrat talk to the bullfrog? Said the gator trying to look like a log. His eyes so pale and his big long tail, he's trying to slip up on a frog. Oh, the bonnet pun in the midday sun, but in the evening it's dark getting hairy. Hungry and thirsty, who's gonna be boys? Man, it's downright scary. It keeps you humble though, and keep you on your toes. It's a frog. The red one said, when did you drop in? He said, I was doing so fine until they put me on the line. I think they called it fishing. Oh, well, the big bass talked to the catfish. Said, have you ever been caught? He said, no, not yet, but I'll never forget. I was one hook I got on. The funny pond in the midday sun, but in the evening it's dark and hairy. Hungry and dirty, gonna be hurt. Man, it's downright scary. It keeps you humble though, and keep you on your toes. When they rumble in the pond, the cotton mouth turned to the turtle, said, man, the danger is real. Tell you a secret, a big white egret tried to turn me into a meal. Oh, the pond and pond in the midday sun, but in the evening it's dark and hairy. Hungry and thirsty, who's gonna be first? Man, it's downright scary. Keep your humble though, and keep you on your toes. It's a foggy world. Out when they rumble though, out in the jungle though, when they rumble. We'll be right back.
can make radio with funding support through New Zealand On Air. Complete the application on planetaudio.org.nz/make radio.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying word. Oh, but that's the way it goes. All the Federalists say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose. Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dust of Poncho's bit down south ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid poor Poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go. Nobody knows. All the Federalists say they could have had him any day. We only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose.
Is living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty, too. He only did what he had to do.